From the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners Annual Conference, GP12, held in October 2012 on the Gold Coast, Dr. Nathan Pinksier, Dr. Sue Page, and Janelle Jackowenko talked all things telehealth. From hardware and software, MBS incentives and item numbers, as well as advice on Skype and information on all of the RACGP resources to help you get started. This podcast is just a small taste of all of the useful information you can find at www.racgp.org.au/telehealth.
The next section, and we will do it really, really quickly, is around managing change. And this is basically any time you create a change, you don't already have the systems in place in order to provide the protection. So things like the implementation guide, which was held up earlier, are a good starting tool because other people have already thought about policy and procedure things. If you're going to do this at all, any change that you're going to do, you want to actually sell with a positive flavour. You don't want to say, oh, we're not sure whether this is going to work or not. Gee, we're not sure about the privacy, because that sort of half-baked attitude flows through the whole rest of the team and they'll say, oh, we won't do it, it's too hard, or oh, I'm not so sure about it. You need to have the whole team on board. In our practice, for example, we had 2 years, I'm distressed to say, to convince one of our colleagues that it was about time that the practice had a fax machine, obviously well before internet days, but we didn't purchase the fax machine until everybody was comfortable that that was an appropriate way to transmit data at the time. So the same thing here, you would have team meetings, you'd discuss it for a while. It may be that you're the only person who's ready, in which case the machine is just in your room and you would discourage perhaps your colleagues using it unless they sit down with you and talk about the risks and the benefits. You don't want to have your equipment being used to put a patient at harm because your colleague just thought, oh, we'll just do this quickly. You want everybody to be up and ready about it. Obviously, think about patients in residential aged care facilities. They often have multiple problems, multiple morbidities, need for follow-up consultations. Yes, they may have come to you from the specialist rehab unit because they've had a major stroke. It would be a real difficulty to put them in the public transport, you know, transport for health or whatever version you use, trying to get a volunteer driver to take them however far they have to go. Great idea, but that means you have to get your residential aged care facility on board. And, you know, when we spoke to ours, they sort of said, oh, you know, who's going to pay for it and how are we going to run it and where are we going to keep it? And so you may need to sell it to them as well. Certainly things like that email link was a really, you know, you don't have to sell that to anybody. You could see how quick and easy it was. I noticed that several of you were logging on and looking at the site even while we're talking. So it's just being aware of it. People need to be able to see and experience. So if you were going to try and get it in your residential aged care facility, you might link back to your practice using an iPad and then all of a sudden it's not scary. If you leave it to them to do it, they won't do it for a while. That's why a number of specialists don't have electronic health records and they don't necessarily have the equipment, but you want them to come on board because you want them to be on the other end of a video conference. MBS is trying to help. So you can have another GP in the practice sit with your patient, you can have a practice nurse sit with your patient, you can have an Aboriginal health worker sit with your patient, but for you to be able to tick the boxes on your practice accreditation, that has to be safe. And it has to be safe, not just physically safe, but also culturally safe. If you have somebody with chest pain and they suddenly have a heart attack, whoever's in the room with them needs to be able to have the duty of care to initiate the resuscitation protocols. If they suddenly burst into tears because they're having a psych consult, you know, you probably need to have a box of tissues and somebody who feels comfortable dealing with that or who can call you in from the room next door. Just think about it in advance. It's not hard. We do this for real patients face-to-face all the time. But all of our systems and processes, you are face-to-face and you don't even think about them anymore. But way back 20 years ago, your practice thought about them, either that or you had a couple of misadventures along the way which made you change your systems and processes. You can have a few mistakes in video conferencing if that's the way you want to go, or you can think about it in advance and just fit it in seamlessly. Midwives and nurse practitioners who are registered to work without GP supervision, which is not everybody, can do this on their own, directly linking in with the specialist obstetric unit. Always be culturally sensitive. And that comes back to who's in the room at the other end. Are they culturally trained? If not, you might need to give them a quick brief before they see your patient. Will they have other people in the room? They obviously shouldn't without getting the permission of the patient, and everybody who's on the video conference, the patient isn't going to know who they are, whether they're the cleaner or the nurse. Female GPs in the room, have people ever assumed that you're a nurse because you're female in the hospital? Yeah, we're all nodding. You know, so actually introduce yourself, say what training you have, you know, that I'm the doctor today, and what that means. Expressly say confidentiality. People are used to YouTube clips on the internet going viral. They want to be reassured that just because you're using video conference, they're not going to see it on YouTube tomorrow. One of the good ways of getting staff on board here, by the way, one of the ways that we found very successful in our area is video linking to another practice so that the staff talk to each other over lunch. They joke and laugh a little bit. They talk about different things, but because it becomes easy and they start to use it for things like inter-practice education, inter-practice sharing of journals, it's not scary. So then it's much easier for them to incorporate it into clinical care. This basically is... What do you do in your practice? Probably, and that's the last slide, probably the thing I would just say is that sometimes the people who are the strongest champions of new technologies are the ones who hold the lowest level of clout within the practice. So when we first introduced computers at the front desk of our practice, the most junior front desk receptionist was the one who knew all about computers. And so immediately she was put as the senior person in charge of it, and that totally ballsed up the dynamic that the receptionists had with each other, and we ended up losing our most senior receptionist because she really didn't like being told what to do by the most junior one. So sometimes it's the simplest things that can make it not work in your practice. If you plan it ahead, if you think about those things, it will be really easy. And that means talking to all of your practice. This is not just about you. This is about how your practice deals with patients who need to have a different form of access to care.
Thanks for listening to this RACGP Telehealth Podcast. If you like what you've just heard, you can visit our website, www.racgp.org.au/telehealth, for more. You will also find the complete online and interactive telehealth education program, Setting Up Video Consultations in General Practice, at www.gplearning.com.au.